From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Well, our connection this hour was made on January 1st, 2023, when RTS named a new chief executive officer. Miguel Velazquez made his way up through the organization at Regional Transit Service, and RTS saw him as a logical fit to become its next CEO. Velazquez was closely familiar with the issues facing public transportation here, including the highly touted Reimagine RTS plan. Now, Reimagine promised more frequent, more reliable service than ever before, shorter wait times, a better rider experience. In short, a plan to make RTS the kind of regional transit service that other regions talk about and learn from. The Reimagine process included feedback from 11,000 customers and community members. RTS looked at the most well-run transit agencies in cities across the country. They identified a number of goals, including a desire to maximize the number of riders, improve rider experience, and expand public transit to include more mobility options. Now, RTS made it clear this would include some difficult choices. Those included eliminating some bus stops or cutting routes that had become redundant or had low ridership. Some places that used to be served by 40-foot buses would now be served by smaller vehicles. But RTS said that even with those changes, more than 95% of their customer base would be within half a mile of a bus stop. Ultimately, the reimagined RTS system would be aimed to better connect riders to clusters of jobs or housing or significant community spots. Has it worked? Public transportation has to be a living, breathing thing. Clusters of jobs today might be a moribund strip mall tomorrow. RTS understands that ridership has to evolve. And we wanted to sit down with the CEO to talk about how he sees the state of public transportation. And we invite phone calls and emails so we can have a free-ranging conversation driven by listeners. We want to know if you take the bus or you use a different RTS option and how that experience has gone. The CEO of RTS is Miguel Velazquez. Welcome back. Nice to have you in the studio here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me here, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your listeners.
Happy Thanksgiving belatedly to you and the whole team at RTS. How is the team doing? I mean, this is our first sort of extended sit-down post-pandemic, which is weird to say because I don't know when it officially ended. But I'm curious to know how much RTS is still dealing with post-pandemic effects. Are you sort of on a nice glide pattern now? Has it been tough for a few years?
It has been very, very tough. I would say that things start to calm down the earlier part of this year for us. So for us, it was really a four-year, really hectic time. You know, we were not one of those businesses who could slow down, send everybody home, make sure that employees were safe. We had to make sure that both our employees and the public and our customers were safe. So it really took a toll on our team, to be quite honest. We had to work extra hard. And as you mentioned, to make it even harder, in the middle of it, we were planning our Reimagine RTS launch, which we had to then work really hard to not do it. We had to postpone it for about a year and basically replan the launch. So we went through all of that. Finally, when we launched, you may or may not remember, we had to help with a community crisis to make sure students could get to school. So we had to roll back some of what we had done. Then soon after that, we had to then deal with the great resignation, right? Where were the people trying to hire and fill our vacancy? So it's been a long road. It's been very tiring. I think things, like I said, start to settle down in the earlier part of this year.
Biggest impact from pandemic was just declining ridership, and then that's impact in the ripple effect. Is that right?
That's correct. That and again, labor. So declining ridership, it went down initially 50%, and that consistent with the rest of the nation. And now that remote work is pretty much commonplace, that has continued to impact us to some extent. But we are seeing double digits ridership increases year over year. We're about 80% of pre-pandemic ridership, again, consistent with what the nation is seeing.
Now, I mean, I think that is that number, 50%, is not only staggering, but as you say, you were in the middle of this relaunching of what it is you do, the Reimagine program, and all of a sudden, ridership falls in half. Some employees are leaving permanently, and you have to determine, whenever we get to the other side of this, whatever that looks like, can we get back to 2019 levels? Is this where we are? I mean, 80% of pre-pandemic, is that roughly where you think we're going to top out at because of things like remote work, because of fewer people actually getting out of their house and traveling or their apartment and traveling?
I hope not. Again, we're still seeing double digits ridership increases. I think not only are people continue, or organizations continue to ask employees to come back to the office, but we're seeing people making a choice now that, hey, is it really worth to have a car and have that expenditure? Let's give public transit a try. And we keep improving our service. I mean, we keep working on it, seeing how we can keep expanding frequent service, expanding places we go to. So I'm very hopeful that we're going to get at the very least to pre-pandemic levels, if not more than that.
You know, it's interesting thinking about car use. Inflation affects a lot of people, a lot of households, a lot of individuals, and they might decide, yeah, I'm going to do my best to, you know, we're going to go from a two-car house to a one-car household. Or we can't afford, we thought we might be able to afford a car. We still can't. We're going to stay with public transportation. We had a conversation with Senator Jeremy Cooney about this recently, chair of the Transportation Committee in the New York State Senate. And we talked about rail, but we're going to be talking about other transportation ideas with him next month. But one of his points is that we cannot give up on a multimodal society. That, yes, the United States is not Europe. Yes, we are not, you know, high-speed rail everywhere. But we need multimodal, and that we have to not just assume that the pandemic convinced everybody to never leave their home again if possible, or only work remotely, or not get out and move. How do you see where do you think society is going with all these forces at play?
I think he's absolutely right. I think options are going to continue to expand. I think the future of transportation, while very uncertain, is really exciting at the same time with autonomous vehicles, microtransit, things like what we've done, like on-demand service type of service. He'll probably talk to you if he didn't already about BRT or bus rapid transit, which is like a light rail sort of, you know, on buses. So I think there's a lot of options that are coming down the road that we can take advantage of and help the community in different ways. So, yeah, I think the future, it's exciting, at least for a transit geek, it's exciting. And I think that he's absolutely right. We cannot give on multimodal. You know, I've heard people say, oh, you'll be out of business because autonomous cars. Why not just, you know, people would use that. There's no more efficient way of moving mass transit, moving a mass number of people around than what we do, really, public transit. So we'll be here for a long time. It's just how we innovate and make it better.
I'm talking to Miguel Velazquez, who is the CEO of RTS. Listeners, are you taking the bus these days? Are you taking various RTS options? What has your experience been? It's a good chance to talk to you about what you are seeing. I already have some emails. I'll get to those coming up. But you can call the program. It's toll-free, 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program, connections@WXXI.org. Your predecessor, Bill Carpenter, on this program a number of times. Really, everyone who's led RTS in my 11 years of hosting the show has been very generous with their time. I'm grateful for it. I appreciate you being here today. One of Bill's first appearances, somebody asked him, like, you know, hey, does the CEO ever take the bus, or do you guys not know what it's like, you know? And Bill said, like, no, of course, we have to know what it is like. How often do you put yourself in that situation where you say, look, I want to understand what a ridership experience is like? How do you view that?
Yeah, I love that question. I get that asked all the time as
I'm
well.
Sure.
I, as an example, make my team to make sure they take the bus at least once a month, try it out, try different routes. I do it myself, and I force myself, even though I don't have to every time I have a meeting downtown. I make sure that I get downtown via bus. And it's amazing how many people I say, oh, I got to leave now. I got to go take the bus. And they're like, you didn't take the bus. And it's like, why would you doubt that I would take the bus? But no, it's important. Like you said, I mean, not only talking to our drivers, interacting with customers, understanding when our drivers are concerned about specific aspect of our service, is really experiencing it. There's no substitute for that. You know, I had an experience where a driver said, we really cannot take the 14 marketplace. It's a very wrong route back and forth without having access to a bathroom. And I took it And by the time I was on my way back, I was like, oh my God, I got to go to the bathroom really bad.
Yeah.
So we made arrangements to make sure that our drivers had access to a bathroom on both ways, going there, coming back. So those are, you know, little things. That's for our drivers. But also what we hear from customers, what you experience is very important. I agree.
All right. A lot to talk about, especially how the CEO of RTS views their accomplishments and the work of 2024 as we get ready to wrap 2024. We're going to look ahead. We're going to talk about how he does feel like some of the goals of Reimagine have been carried out. And we're going to work in questions from listeners. And we'll start with Francis in Penfield on the phone. Hello, Francis. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Very good.
I'm just curious. I've traveled extensively in Europe, and it's a problem. It's a conundrum in the U.S. that once we, first of all, we have to change the mentality of public transportation, but once you get someplace, it seems like you need a car from that point on. So it's not as if our culture really lends itself to using the bus. But so that's one comment I have. The other one is, well, it seems to me the mentality or what I've noticed here is that the routes seem to go to the hub of the city. And if it's Rochester Regional Transit, I wonder, I can just see a real need for going, for example, from Webster all the way down to Victor or Webster all the way down to Fairport on 250 and then deviating from 250 to the villages to connect so that young people, and then we're changing the culture a little bit by getting young people freedom to go places where they can walk. You can walk in the village of East Rochester. You can walk in the village of Penfield. You can walk in the village of Fairport. Down to 250 and 31, you can walk to do things for them to do, to get them to the different libraries around and to get them to the shopping. Let's say someone that lives on 250 near the YMCA wants to go to Webster shopping, say at Target in either Webster or in Penfield. It's a way to get them to the places they need to go where they can exist without a car. They can be there and be there without a car.
Yeah, it's a very fair question. I'm going to give the CEO plenty of time to respond. It's something that Senator Cooney talked about when we talked about rail. It was a frequent question that said, okay, even if you do the rail that you're talking about or the kind of rail that we see in Southeast Florida, does that mean that the rail is going to deliver you to a place where you don't need a car? And if you still need a car where you're going, how much help have you gotten? So I know you've thought about this a lot. Go ahead.
Francis, thank you for that question. That's a great question, and you're right. The experience here in the U.S. is totally different than in Europe, that, as you mentioned. There's something in public transit that we call the 3Ds, where public mass transit really, really works. And that's where you have density, diversity, and design. And that's density of people, density of different types of use, which is the diversity piece of it, where you have retail, and you have jobs, and you have housing, and you have entertainment, that diversity of usage, and then, of course, design, making it easy and convenient for people to use public transit. You know, in our region here, where that works really, really well, it's in the city of Rochester. That's where you see the majority of our service. That being said, we understand that there's need outside of the city. We suffer in this area also from what you haven't had the program before, urban sprawl, and you have to just start having those circumstances where people move out of the city and there's less density and it's harder for public transit to reach those places with the resources that we have. And so we do our best. Obviously, the best way or most convenient way that people would like to get from one place to the other is a direct straight shot without having to transfer anything, doing anything like that. But, you know, what we try to do and what we try to do with Reimagine is increase the frequency so it's easier, more convenient for people to use our fixed routes. And then when you start getting to those areas where there's less density, have our on-demand service. We created on-demand zones so that people could do that. That being said, The other thing we did when we're doing Reimagine, we got feedback from over 11,000 people, was where are the circumstances, the places where we shouldn't have to go all the way down to back downtown to get back out to one of the suburbs. And so to that end, we created two crosstowns. One on Ridge Road goes from Breeze Ridge Mall to Skyview Mall. And then we created our 41, which is the Culver Goodman crosstown, which goes from Skyview all the way down to Marketplace Mall, connecting Henrietta and Arundecoit. And again, Greece and Arundecoit without having to go downtown. So there's a few things we can do. It's not ideal. I agree with you. I wish we had more density and more resources to do exactly the type of travel that you described.
Francis, thank you. A couple points to build on that. RTS in the last year has introduced service improvements to kind of some of the bigger job sites. So the old Marketplace Mall has the UR Medicine Orthopedic Center there now. You provide service there.
Yes.
The new Amazon facility and a T-Mobile call center. I don't know where those are. So, where's Amazon?
So this is the one in Rochester Tech Park.
Oh, Rochester Tech. Okay, yeah.
T-Mobile is on Clay Road in Henrietta.
Okay.
So in that case, we deviated or changed our 14 Marketplace route to go on Clay Road. Before, it just stayed on Marketplace Drive. So we changed that route to serve T-Mobile, 1,000 jobs. We want to be good community partners, and that makes sense to change that route and serve that job site. And in the case of Amazon, again, great partnership. They are subsidizing part of the route so that it goes and takes their employees to basically their front door. And that has been a huge, huge success. Our ridership on that route has increased by over 2,500 a month because of that partnership. So when we are able to enter into those types of partnerships, magic happens, really.
What about Fairlife? Is that in Webster? Fairlife, is that happening
too? Fairlife will be out in Webster. Haven't had really sit-down conversations yet on what will happen there. So waiting for those conversations to
start. Is that something that could end up being serviced by RTS?
It could, yes.
Okay. And then the other thing that kind of came to mind listening to Francis, and you're talking about density. So I grew up in Cleveland, and every time I go back, I'm amazed that the suburbs feel like they're intentionally designed so no one can walk anywhere. I mean, every suburb I go through or go see my mother, it's just like, wow, look at all this new development, and just it's so car-centric. It feels a little outdated. Here, it's different. To me, it's a range. I think of a lot of local suburbs here have some areas that are more village-like, that are more walkable. Obviously, Pittsford, I mean, you couldn't even find a parking spot near the library last week there. It's nice to people using a library. That's exciting. I think of I-Square. I think in Arundecoit, you know, you can go to I-Square. You can walk and do a lot of stuff there. You can shop. You can eat. And, you know, Fairport has a ton going on. There's a lot of different little centers that do feel like if you can get public transportation to them, that you can, as Francis said, not have to rely on a car and do a lot. Do you see it that way?
Yeah. Again, that's why we are doing our on-demand zones, using smaller vehicles. It's a different type of transportation. Since we introduced that, what I call product or service, we are now, our ridership in those zones is greater than when we had fixed route going there because it was very limited. It was maybe a couple times in the morning, a couple times in the afternoon. People could not really rely on it. Now you have this on-demand service, takes you, you know, it's obviously not a fixed route that stays on a main corridor. It can take you to different places. So it is more apt for that type of environment. I wish, again, that there were more demand. That way we could provide even better service, maybe a different product from what we do today. But for where we are right now is the best product that fits that circumstance.
Talking to Miguel Velazquez, who's the CEO of RTS. It's 844-295-TALK. Toll free if you want to call the program, 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester, 263-9994. And again, you can email the program, connections@WXXI.org. It's the first real hard freeze we had. I had begonias that lasted till November 30th this year. But now we've got a little bit of the snow, certainly the cold. What's going on with Code Blue today?
So there's a press conference later on today organized by the county, the city, We are part of the Code Blue because what we do is we help get people to shelters, warming shelters. Anyone who is unhoused, who needs that service, needs to get to a warming shelter, can ride the bus for free. If the shelter is on a route, we take them right there. If it's not, they can go to a transit center and we'll get them in the right route for them to get to where they need to be.
Important note there. Appreciate that. So listeners, it's again, connections at WXXI.org. I see the phone ringing. I'll get back to your phone calls in a second. Let me grab a couple of emails that have come in. First of all, Thomas just says, "Dear Rochester, take the bus everywhere. It really works, and it is so much better than it used to be. Once I got used to the routes and the times, I began to feel liberated. I really don't need a car anymore. Dump your car and jump on the bus." Gratefully, that's Tom, who says he is a city resident. I don't think he's one of your employees. I think he's just a resident.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Really appreciate you being a customer.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. Lisa in Rochester says, "What partnerships are necessary to encourage the University of Rochester to not compete with RTS buses that cause RTS to underserve routes like Mount Hope, where you are buses students?" That's from Lisa. Is that a fair description of it, or you see it differently?
No, I understand. I mean, we've talked to the U of R in the past. Let me, to be quite frank, in some circumstances, like I said, like Amazon as an example, in some cases we need partnerships where we don't have enough resources and we need some financial assistance in order for us to either increase the frequency or set up a new route, which would require us to purchase buses, hire more people. In those cases where we can partner in that way, we'll do whatever we can to make sure that we get the resources we need from a bus perspective, employees, obviously all the back office to make that happen. I would love to be years ago, I went to U of R, that's my alma mater, I graduated from U of R, both grad and undergrad, My undergrad, I took RTS buses because U of R partner or contracted with RTS. So I used RTS as a student. That was my mode of transportation. And my senior year, I lived downtown. So I took it to go to River Campus every day. And it worked great. It worked great. And, you know, if that can happen again, we will be more than happy to make that happen.
All right, Lisa in Rochester, thank you for that email. Paul in Brighton, next on the phone. Hello, Paul. Go ahead.
Hi, happy Thanksgiving, belated Thanksgiving to everyone. And I have a question, and I may have missed this. Maybe this does go on, but I'm wondering about special event coverage. Like I'm going to use the Jazz Festival as an example. Does RTS offer for folks who are, you know, suburban and may not want to, worry about parking or pay for park? Is there a special system set up that would bring people in? Let's use Victor as the example, to get folks downtown specifically for the Jazz Festival and back out to Victor. Is that something that's been done or thought about?
No, Paul, we've never done it that way. Whenever there is any event going on downtown, obviously, we have the services that we have in place regularly. So someone from Victor, Pittsford, as an example, could get on one of our on-demand buses, get to a connection hub, which for the Pittsford area is in St. John Fisher, and then take one of our routes, the 11 Monroe in that case, to come downtown. So there is access. They could go there that way. There is nothing as a special shuttle, if that's what you're referring to, for yes, different events to do that. We have, again, talking of partnerships, we have in the past been contacted by events producers or organizers to do things like shuttles, which we have to do under very strict process and guidelines because we're public transit. But it has happened in the past where we've done that type of service. But it's not always the case.
Okay, thank you.
Paul, thank you. Fair question. So if people haven't used RTS often and want to use it more, you know, whether there's an app or something that can get people's attention in terms of how to find the best routes, you mentioned an on-demand service, for example, what would you urge people to do?
Please go to myrts.com. We do have apps. You can go to on-demand. RTS on-demand is an app. It just works like Uber and Lyft. You'll request a pickup and a drop-off, and we'll do that for you. Obviously, it's public transit, so don't expect that you'll be the only one in the vehicle necessarily. It's a shared ride, but it pretty much gets you from point A to point B, just like an Uber and Lyft does. And then we have an app that allows you to take fixed route and tell you how far is the bus, how soon before the bus gets to where you're at, and take you to your destination, so you're not waiting out on the cold for long periods of time. You know exactly when the bus is coming, and you can use it that way. So it's much easier than what it used to be when we just had to rely on paper schedules these days. I urge everyone, again, go to myrts.com, go to RTS Go, so you can pay online too, or you can pay through the app. You don't need to go and get actually a physical fare ticket, so to make it easier that way as well. So I urge people to try it. And, you know, one of the things that I tell people, don't, I'm not telling you dump your car, but maybe change a couple of your trips, you know, maybe once a week, start with once a week, one trip a week, maybe one day, and then go from there, depending on how you like it. And we hope you like it. And I think we will, you will. And maybe one day you will dump your car.
Tom in Rochester says dump your car. Dorothy in Rochester next on the phone. Hello, Dorothy.
Hello. Hi. I'm calling because I think that there are certain routes that should have 24-hour bus service, predominantly being the airport. But when you get in on a flight that's delayed and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you don't have a way to get around other than a cab, which some people can't afford. So I just think this needs to be... I'm from New York City, and, you know, we have it 24 hours a day, you know?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Well, okay, so that's what I wanted to say.
All right, Dorothy, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I understand why someone from New York City would say, why is nothing open for dinner at 11 o'clock at night, and how come I get off a plane at 3 in the morning that was delayed, and I struggle to find transportation? It's a little different, but what would you say to her in terms of, or what would you say to travelers who may be in that position? What do you think?
Well, first I would say we wish we were like the city that never sleeps, right? And we would have those businesses open all night long. That's not the case here in Rochester. We have made some changes. So when we launched Reimagine, there was not a route that went to the airport because there was no demand. And our studies all said you shouldn't have that route. But nevertheless, we listened to the community, we listened to elected officials, and after we launched Reimagine, we added Route 23 to go to the airport. So now we have that service going there every 30 minutes, so it's very, very good service. But the other thing is, we've looked into extending our time later at night, like, for example, to go to 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and believe it or not, just extending 1 hour or two, it's millions of dollars. So it's not cheap for us to add that. And when you start saying, okay, for that extra million or $2 million, how many more people are going to use it? And it's not very many. Those are the tough decisions where we have to say that's not a great investment for us to use our resources.
If you landed at the Rochester airport at 3 a.m. and you didn't have a car at the airport, what would you be doing?
If I didn't have a family member who couldn't pick me up, I would be calling a taxi or an Uber.
Yeah, yeah. That's Dorothy, thank you. And maybe Rochester is going to grow in the coming decades for a lot of reasons, and we'll be New York City again, Dorothy. But I do appreciate that. It's 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Now, RTS, you did something in Wyoming. Where's my notes? Wyoming County. What did you do there? A water? No. There's something in Wyoming County as well. Here, am I crazy? There's both.
Yes,
there's both. I saw in my notes something in Wyoming. Oh, here it is. You finished construction and you celebrated the opening of the new RTS Wyoming facility.
Yes.
I want to ask about this because then we have a separate question that came from one of our colleagues in media, Greg Cotterill, who's covered this story for the Finger Lakes Daily News about Waterloo, I think. So he says, in August of 2023, RTS held a groundbreaking ceremony for a new $8 million. Bus garage and an office training center in Waterloo. The new RTS facility will be built on Thurber Drive there, adjacent to the Seneca County office building. And the facility was expected to open this summer. I don't know if it did.
It is delayed, and that will be. It's expected that it will open in February.
In February. Mm-hmm. So you're on track for just a couple of months mm-hmm. now. Okay. Greg says, for 19 years, buses have parked outside, and the purpose of the project is to enhance services for Seneca County. That's right?
That's correct.
Okay. So on schedule there for February.
Yep.
And what about Wyoming? What's going
on
there?
So Wyoming was on time, and that one we just had the ribbon cutting a couple of weeks ago. So that facility is now operational, and that's basically the same concept as the one in Waterloo or Seneca County, which is a bus facility for us to store our buses, clean our buses, and our administrative staff to work out of.
Okay. So thank you, Greg, for that note. We covered that story for Finger Lakes Daily News and one of our colleagues over at WEOS, Finger Lakes Public Radio. So when we talk about regional transit service, we talk a lot about Rochester, but you're regional, right?
Yes.
It's important to note. So listeners, if you want to call the program, it's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. Or Christine in Brighton emails connections at WXXI.org. And says, I'm appreciating this conversation. I'm a strong advocate for public transit. I choose to ride the bus fairly regularly. I emphasize that I choose to ride as I have the luxury of access to a car. What is RTS doing to make riding the bus a more appealing choice to more people who are not fully reliant on public transit to get around? It's a good question. And again, if you missed the intro of the program, there was a lot of talk a couple of years ago about Reimagine RTS. It was a years-long process interrupted by the pandemic, but one of those central tenets was just improving the ridership experience. Mm-hmm. So when Christina Breton wants to know, hey, for the people who don't have to take RTS, what are the upgrades? What have you done to try to make this an experience that people say, yeah, I like it, and I'm glad I didn't have to use the car today?
I'm sorry, that's Christine or Christina?
Christine.
Christine, thank you for that endorsement and being a customer. So, yes, first of all, the Reimagine process was about 4 or 5 year process. We started in 2017, gathering a lot of feedback from customers, over 200 different events and meetings. We had a community stakeholder advisory group that we met with regularly. We had an advisory group from employees. And so we did a lot of outreach to learn. What we heard was that customers would prefer to perhaps walk a little longer if they had routes that were more frequent. We heard frequency was key. One analogy that we use in the transit world these days is that imagine if your car garage only opened every 45 minutes or every hour. You could only leave your house every 45 minutes or an hour. How inconvenient would that be? Or if your car only turned on every 45 minutes and you went to the grocery store, get your groceries in 5 minutes, but now you got to wait 40 minutes for your car to turn on. So we heard that frequency was key, that buses would come by very frequently so you can build your life around public transit. And so that's one of the tenets of Reimagine. We started with 8 frequent routes. Again, we have to roll some of those back to help the community in 2021. So right now we have 4 frequent routes, obviously very, very successful. Those routes, you could tell people really depend on them. It's very convenient for them. So that was probably one of the major improvements. The other one was that we now do the same thing 7 days a week. Before, what happened was over 40 years of evolution of our system here in Rochester, we had routes that would do one thing on Monday, do a different thing on Tuesday, do a different thing on Wednesday, not run on Saturday and Sunday. And people it was very difficult, first of all, to understand. And second of all, people could not build their lives around that because they didn't know. Sometimes the bus would go to a certain place. We call it splinters. It would deviate from their corridor and serve a business. Sometimes of the day wouldn't do that. So now on the Reimagine, all our routes do the exact same thing all the time, all day long, 7 days a week. If you want to rely on it, you can. It's not like someone who has a job that is Wednesday through Sunday cannot use it because the bus doesn't run on Saturday and Sunday. If you that's your situation, you can count on us to use public transit. So those are the main features, if you will, of what we've done. We've made it more reliable, more convenient, more frequent, more connected, so people, again, can build their lives around it.
Hey, Juanita in Rochester, I'll take your call in a second. Let me just work in a question that relates to the email that Christine sent. Jeff emailed to say, what is RTS doing to address the conditions of bus stops in general? He says, it's been my observation that there's very little at a stop other than the sign itself. Riders are sometimes waiting on overturned shopping carts. Sometimes there's trash scattered about. Many stops are on uneven surfaces. Can they entice more ridership by improving the stops?
That's a great, great question. Couple of things about that. So one of the things that we did was we applied for a grant that Congressman Morelli helped us get. We applied, actually, it was a couple of million dollars. He got us $500,000, and we'll keep applying to make as many of our bus stops accessible. So many of our bus stops is a bus stop sign stuck in the mud and cannot be accessed. So we want to make as many of them accessible as possible. We do install shelters wherever we can. In some circumstances, it just doesn't make sense. But now you're going to start seeing here in the near future what we're calling covered seats. So covered seating where it can't or doesn't make sense to put a shelter, but we still want to provide seating and some little bit of a canopy coverage for customers. You're just going to start seeing those. And we're going to pilot that, see how that is received. And then, you know, to your last point, we do have an outside contractor that cleans our bus stops, our bus shelters, but obviously it's very difficult. You know, we have over 2,000 of them all over the city. They go around. Sometimes they got to replace glass because it's been broken, clean graffiti, pick up garbage. But maintaining 2,000 every day is very difficult. So I use this as a plea to the public, you know, to take care of your bus stops, you know. And I know for the most part, unfortunately, it's not our customers because they use it and they know I don't want to treat it this way. But it's the public in general asking to please take care of our bus stops.
All right. In Rochester, this is Juanita next. Hello, Juanita.
Hello. I have several questions, but my main question is, have you ever considered the feasibility of smaller buses with more specific flexible routes? Like I go every Wednesday and every Sunday to church, and, the church has a bus, but like they can only take so many people. They have a small bus and they can only take so many people. And perhaps if you had smaller buses and you could advertise on the bigger buses that you have these smaller buses that go to certain places and build up your clientele that way. My other questions were about security, seat belts, and old people accommodations for when I lose my license and I can no longer drive.
Okay. Miguel?
That's a lot.
Well, can I take my answers offline? Or
I'm going to put you on hold. And if we missed any of the aspects there, because there's a lot there, I'll bring you back on here, Juanita. We appreciate it. Go ahead, Miguel.
Yeah, sure. So starting with the small buses, I hear you. I understand that many people think, oh, you know, it would be easier, more convenient for you to do that. That is kind of the concept that we're doing, again, on the on-demand zones where there is less demand and so less density. So we do use those smaller buses, and that seems to work well. It's more difficult to some extent in the city where we're really trying to move large amounts of people as efficiently as possible. And so, you know, when we have a lot of people going from point A to point B, the most efficient way is to use, obviously, our 40-foot buses or 60-foot buses to do that. Outside of that, then it becomes a question of what is the demand, how many people need it, how often, in order for us to make a decision whether it makes sense to include or expand the route. That's how I would answer that piece of it. Not sure what you meant about seat belts. Not sure if that meant.
Let me bring Juanita back, see if she wants to elaborate there. Go ahead.
Oh, the last time I rode a bus, they had no seat belts. And we were in a bus once, and somebody rammed the back of the bus. And you wouldn't think that a bus that big, it wouldn't move, but it kind of did. And I appreciate, I didn't know anything about the on-demand zones. I'll have to look that up.
Okay. Go ahead, Miguel.
Yeah, yeah. Please go to myrts.com and you will find information about the on-demand zones. Yeah, so you mean seatbelts for customers. Yeah, you know, it's not typical to see seatbelts on public transit buses. So that is not something that it's really contemplated or usual for us to see. I understand your concern because accidents do happen. You know, we have great operators, are very, very safe. So we hope that those circumstances are you know, far and few in between. But it's not typical to see seatbelts for customers on buses.
Yeah. And just in general, do you think that people who don't take the bus have stereotypical views about safety on buses? And how would you describe the safety on RTS buses?
So the answer is yes to your question.
So you're still dealing with that stereotype, a public perception of safety.
Yes, I think that unfortunately that perception is out there because whenever we have an incident, you know, that gets, you know, publicized and it makes the news when in fact, number one, it was not necessarily a major incident, but you got to remember, we move almost 11 million people a year, 11 million trips. So when you hear of an incident, I mean, we're talking, you know, less of a percent of the time of the trips we do, the service we provide, and the people who use it. But again, unfortunately, it makes the news, and that's what sticks in people's mind.
It's going to sound like I'm doing PR for RTS. I'm not, but I will tell you, having worked in a number of different newsrooms in different contexts, when there is an incident, it is easy to put that in the A block of a newscast. But the impression that ends up on viewers' minds is that this is the norm.
Right.
And so what I think we try to do at public radio and in this newsroom at WXXI is we try to report on issues a lot more than incidents. Incidents can develop into a pattern and create an issue. But if we don't contextualize, it's easy for the public to think, well, it's never safe to take a bus. Never. There's plenty of people in our region who think, I would never go to downtown Rochester. You live in the city? How do you do that? It's terrible. It's not safe. Well, I mean, that's what happens when you don't report with context. So I will just affirm the idea that, first of all, human drivers, car drivers are not very safe. I mean, I drive up and down Lake Avenue every day, which I think has some expanded service, because if you're a car driver on Lake Avenue, I just want to say again, what are you doing? What's going on in your life? Like, it's wild. And RTS bus drivers, shout out to your operators. They do a great job. And thank goodness for that. No perfect safety record anywhere, but they do a very, very good job, probably better than the average car driver. What's going on in Lake Avenue here?
I'm glad you asked that, because that was one of the major improvements we did this year. Starting in September, that's where we reinstated one of our frequent services. So ridership was just through the roof. We formed a driver focus group, and that driver focus group was telling us, you really need to put more service and buses on Lake Avenue. So we did that. We have 15-minute service on that on Lake Avenue. Our ridership has increased by over 20% in just a few months that it's been in place. So it's going really, really well.
Elizabeth writes to say, just an observation. We're out in Fairport, and my daughter works in Pittsford Plaza. I would love for her to take a bus, but she's nervous about it. I've tried to tell her about the use of buses when I lived in Boston and in New York City, and she uses them when she's in New York City, but she's reticent here. If RTS created collaborations between the communities, another positive point is that it would start to develop future ridership. I think these kids, once they find out how easy it is to take it into the city, they will speak out about things like public transportation when they'd like to do so, and they will know that they could use the bus. That's from Elizabeth in Fairport. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I thank you, Elizabeth. I think you're absolutely right. I think that it's like anything else, right? Just that first time, get over that first time, use it, try it out, and I think you're absolutely right. Your daughter will find out that it's not only safe, but it could be a very easy, convenient way of getting around.
The challenge from the CEO, if you missed it earlier this hour, if you've never taken an RTS vehicle, just do it, even if you don't have to. Do it once, see how it goes. See if you work it in once a week or once a month, and see if that affects not only your views on it, but how much you want to use it in the future.
Right.
That's interesting. Okay, and so Let me get an email from Jillian, which connects to some of the other things that have happened in 2024. So Jillian writes to say, when you surveyed the community, what did that include? My impression is that you surveyed riders and you determined, for example, the St. Paul line to Somerville was not used enough. But if it was only riders you surveyed, that might have been ineffective because half the people on my street in Somerville don't even know about that service. So if you didn't get off the bus and talk to people in the neighborhoods, you wouldn't have gotten the job done. So Jillian's saying, who did you survey? Well, I know that earlier this year, you started the year by doing some focus group work. You talked to bus operators. We've talked a little bit about that. And certainly back with Reimagine, you talked to thousands of stakeholders. What would you say to Jillian who wants to know, like, how are you determining where the routes go, what changes, et cetera?
Yeah, so you're right. That wouldn't be helpful if we just survey riders. During Reimagine, we had community events. So we went out to the community, so it wasn't just riders, so we can hear from the public as to what was needed and what we could improve upon. The other thing is we do what is called an origin and destination studies, and we just completed one not too long ago, which is mostly riders, that's true. But what the riders are telling us is, what we want to know is where you start your journey and where you end it. Not where you took the bus and where you got off the bus. Is where do you start your journey and where you end? So I say that because there's some people that may need, you know, a parent or a friend, hey, can you drop me off at the bus stop because it's too far away? Or when they get to their destination, then have to walk, you know, half a mile, three quarters of a mile. And so that gives us an idea of, oh, wait a second, our routes are not in the most convenient place or don't go far enough to where they need to go. So those are two tools, again, surveying community events, people who are not necessarily customers, and then doing that origin and destination study to find out what else we should be doing.
Jillian, thank you for that. Barb in Monroe County says, how about adopt a bus stop? She said it was indicated that there are 2,000 bus stops and you've got people who go around and clean them, but it's a large task. Maybe each community could adopt a cleanup once a week, cleaning up the bus stops in their area to help maintain trash left behind or report back to RTS any problematic areas that need attention. So Barb says we should start adopting a bus stop.
That's a great idea.
That's a pretty good idea.
I should look into that. I can say that, you know, one thing most people don't know is that bus stops are in front of a house or a business. It is the property owner's responsibility to clean around that area. So I know a lot of people don't, you know, oh, that's RTS's issue or the city's issue, when in fact that is the residents or the business owner's responsibility to clean around that area. But I love that idea. I think it's something we should be looking into.
Roger just wants to know, has RTS ever explored other types of transportation, such as light rail? I think that's, well, go ahead. What would you say to me?
Yeah, we have explored other types, including, I'm sorry to be repetitive here, but not only the on-demand service, but partnering with the city to do like the bike share, the scooter share type of service. We partnered with the city at once to do some van pool. Unfortunately, that didn't really take off. And then I mentioned BRT before, Bus Rapid Transit, which is something that we're looking into right now. The concept of a bus rapid transit, think of it of a light rail or a train, but it's using buses. So you don't have to put down, obviously, tracks. You're using buses, which makes it much, much cheaper, much more flexible and convenient. But it's something that we're also looking into right now.
Yeah, and just to the emailer, again, Senator Jeremy Cooney is going to be on this program. Well, I mean, he was on last month. He's going to be on next month. And he's very interested in light rail. That may fall outside the purview of RTS, but that is, those conversations are happening. A couple other quick points of what RTS has been working on this year. You've mentioned different ways that people can pay. You introduced RTS Access Quick Pay with the idea of providing customers the opportunity to prepay for their trips with their credit or debit card. So part of the future. It's the present now. It's not the future anymore, but people want to be able to pay quickly and with their devices, and it sounds like that's happening.
Yeah, so a couple of things on that. So RTS Access, is, of course, that's our paratransit arm of the business for people with disabilities. We introduce Quick Pay so they don't have to carry cash with them and pay on board the bus, so they can pay ahead of time, and so their trip is already paid for. On the fixed route side of things, like I mentioned before, we have RTS Go, so people can basically buy their fare through their app or computer and pay with their phone, so they don't have to physically buy a media in order to pay. And hopefully here, I'm going to knock on wood, in the near future, we'll be implementing Apple Pay and Google Pay so that people don't even have to buy a fare. They just pay like if it was swiping your credit card on board the bus.
That could happen as soon as?
As soon as. I'm going to call it within 6 months.
Okay. All right. Hey, in our last 45 seconds ago or so, Jen writes in to say, you've mentioned on-demand a few times. I still don't fully understand it. So explain to Jen what on-demand service means and sure. what you would want all listeners to understand about that.
Okay. So we have 7 on-demand zones. We have Brockport, Arundecoit, Webster, Pittsford, Henrietta. I mentioned Brockport already, I think. Greece, Lexington. So those are our 7 on-demand zones. And so they're geographically constricted zones. But within that zone, we have on-demand vehicles, meaning within that zone, you can use our app, request a ride from wherever you are in that zone to wherever you want to go within that zone. And again, you request the ride just like you would with an Uber and Lyft. So you say, I'm here at this, you know, WXXI. Could you pick me up? I want to go to the transit center downtown. And so we schedule a ride for you and pick you up.
And you completed a study of on-demand service in counties outside Monroe County this year as
well. That's correct. So we are going to start piloting on-demand service outside of Monroe County and see how that goes.
Well, we covered a lot of ground with the CEO of RTS, Miguel Velazquez. You're welcome anytime, and I hope we can do this regularly. It's great to have you. Thank you very much.
It was great being here. Thank you for having us.
Miguel Velazquez, CEO of RTS, generous with their time as always. We've got more connections coming up in a moment.